The reason why you don't have is because you haven't gone about it the right way, which is through prayer. That's what he's saying here, which is to ask. Now, the real word ask here is continuous, all right, is in present continuous tense. In other words, you haven't, you know, continuously demanded for this thing over a period of time in prayer. That is, you have not put this thing up in prayer and then continuously demanded, all right, for it in prayer. So it speaks about continuity in prayer over a specific thing, in the sense that one believes that, like Elijah did, he said, I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And what he's speaking to here is people hearing certain sounds inside of their hearts. All right. I think I heard someone say today that when he said, I will watch to see what you will say to me, that literally means, I will watch to see what you will say in me. In other words, inside you, you come to believe certain things about your future. You have heard the sound of something in your heart. And what James said is that there hasn't been this continuity. You might play with it or around, all right, in your thought life, play around with the idea of having that particular thing. Right, it becomes sort of an anchor to your soul. It is something that is inside you that tells you there is a future. He said, but you haven't, you know, devoted a certain amount of time continuously going over this in order to give birth to it within your life. And then he says, when a person asks and they say, well, I have been praying, and they receive not, he said, because you ask amiss. The word amiss there comes from a word that says you ask, but what's going on is that you are speaking evil of others. In other words, it tells us you fight and war. That fight is going on. The word amiss there is speaking evil. So you are speaking, right, evil of other people. And then it says, therefore, to consume it upon your own lust. And then it goes on and says, you adulterers, adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world, adopting the methods of the world, right, it says, is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world will be the enemy of God. And that's why verse 11, it says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, it tells us this, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. So what he's speaking about here is if a person speaks evil of another. And I said this yesterday in the service that, you know, when a person, because he says you have not, because you ask not, so you are not giving, all right, in prayer. Like Daniel stayed in prayer concerning the particular thing that he saw inside his heart. He gave some time to it. Moses came to understand that if my hands comes down before God as regards something that I want manifest on the field there, it says we begin to lose the battle in the field. So we have got to practice continuity there, keeping our hands up until there is the fulfillment of that particular thing within our lives. So until that fulfillment is there, our hands have got to be lifted up. And so it says continuity. Now, the point I'm getting to is if a person practices and they are very prayerful, and yet there is still no fruit. He said it's because, you know, you ask amiss, which means you are speaking evil of your brother. And then he says, you judge your brother. and you speak evil of your brother. So there is that critical attitude there where you are speaking evil of others. And what happens is, particularly as the intercessory ministry began to develop in the 80s and 90s, one of the things that affected a lot of intercessors is because if you get into intercession and you give yourself to prayer, you begin to pick up things in the Spirit because you get sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so there is some form of greater measure of discernment that might rest on you. So people might see things in the realm of the Spirit, and instead of them pressing further to intercede, all right, let's say they see something in the life of somebody, instead of them going further and bearing one another's burdens, they start speaking evil, they get judgmental, they get critical of the person, and now that affects the entire way in which they will get results in prayer there. So he says, you ask amiss, and that's what happens because you have evil speech that is going on. And there is that judging there, and there is that speaking evil of, all right, the brother there. And this is one of the things that James said. I want to look at this this evening, that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the entire earth. And he's looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards him so that he might show himself strong on their behalf. So he might manifest himself because God desires to pour out his blessings. He desires to manifest himself because if he manifests himself in the life of one person, as he did in the book of Psalms, let's say here in chapter 40, when David said, he brought my feet out of the miry clay, set it upon the rock, put praise, said, many shall see it and put their trust in God and fear. And there will be reverence and they will put their trust in God, right? You look into the life of Jesus, it says, they said of him, Rabbi, no man can do these things that you are doing except God is with him. So they see God in the life of a person. And there's one principal reason why he wants to demonstrate his glory and his power in the lives of people. Because what that does is that it compels other people, right, to want to have that kind of same substance in their own life. And so it creates a heart hunger for God in the lives of people. So as people become witnesses that means proof producers, then it begins to spur other people inside their hearts to want to have more. So God is looking for what you call those people that will evangelize, those people that will become great advertisement, all right, of his love, that will draw people, that will make people, all right, see his grace, mercy at work in their lives, and they will be drawn unto God. They will see the glory. It tells us that 10 men shall hold on to the skirt of one person, and they will say, God is with thee, that we are following you to the house of the Lord. And this is because the glory of the Lord entered into the lives of those people, right? And they saw God working in his might and his power inside their heart. And so they extended and said, we will go with you. So God is looking for this. And he says, where I find people whose hearts are right towards me, he said, I am going to show myself strong and mighty. I want to look at the condition this evening, right, for that to happen upon the earth. If we look at, all right, 1 Peter, I believe, and chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. It says this in verse 8. Finally, be you of all one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as the brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. In other words, when railing says, bless people from your heart, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. In other words, where there's railings, where there are accusations there, right? And this is that fight there. It says, have compassion towards people, love as brethren. Don't engage in railings there. Don't engage in evil speech. He said, because there is a blessing in the midst of all of this for you to inherit. And then he goes on and says, for he that will love life and see good days. If a person not just will desire good days, but if a person will see good days, see those good days, see the manifestation of God in their life, let him refrain his tongue from evil. That is evil speaking. And his lips that they speak no guile. Guile there is hypocritical speech. In other words, when you speak out of guile, it means that, you know, you say you are something else before a person, and then, you know, there is duality there. So a person hears what you have said about them, and they are shocked. That's guile. Which means that I couldn't, you know, it's deception, right? I wouldn't have imagined that that particular person carried this type of thing inside their heart. That's what guile is. Speaking out of a place. That if a man will see good days, if a man will love life and see good days, he shall refrain his tongue from evil and that his lips speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and let him do good. It says, let him seek peace and ensure it. For their eyes, the same eyes of the Lord that are going to and fro, once he begins to see that in a person, that there is no guile in the speech of that person, that listen, under pressure, the person did not speak evil, all right, of others. That he didn't render evil for evil or railings for railings. He says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So we can see that this evil speech or evil speaking, right, hinders prayers, all right, and creates. Bible says perverseness in the tongue is a breach in the realm of the spirit. So it creates a gulf in the realm of the spirit. That is, it creates that, right? Which means evil speaking does that. It says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you are followers of that, all right, of that which is good? And I'm sure this evening that here is where our divine protection really lies, where God preserves us on the earth, where we cannot be harmed, all right, by anyone or anything if we keep this law. It says, be followers of that which is good. And then went on and talks about suffering from righteousness, happy are ye. He said, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled at all, but sanctify the Lord always in your heart. And this is what Daniel practiced, that even when they put him in the lion's den, all right, even when that pressure was on for Daniel, all right, and all those folks were ganging up against Daniel, what Satan was trying to get Daniel to do was to get Daniel involved in evil speaking concerning those individuals. This is what Satan was really trying to do, right? To get him, all right, let's say that's an office now, to get him into a point where there is counter accusation, where Daniel will be involved in greeting these people on the outside, all right? But then when somebody comes into his space, right, Daniel talks ill of those people and you know, castigates and does all of that. And because of the pain or the hurt that he felt, all right, by reason of what he heard them say. So this is what they were trying, Satan was trying to get Daniel into. He was trying to get him into the zone of death. He was trying to push him into the place of darkness, because you can't hammer somebody who does not in any way, and I want to show this, practice speaking evil of others. One that refrains themselves, which means there's the temptation to do it, but they pull back upon it and refrain themselves from speaking evil, right? Don't get involved in speaking gab. That's why James said, look, if any man seems to be religious, in other words, has a form of godliness, he says, but that person doesn't bridle their tongue. He says they don't know the first thing about being spiritual in life, which means that they have no guard, all right, on the words that come out of their lips. They don't understand that the role their words play. They don't understand that, look, evil speaking, all right, is a very dangerous thing. They don't understand that, and there's no refrain that in them, right? They don't have any inhibition to that. It says that man's religion is vain. That is, the word vain there will be without fruit and will have no success in it. So let's look at this evil speaking, all right, that, you know, Peter was speaking about. Now, where did Peter get this concept from? He got it from David, and we find it in the Psalms and in chapter 34 of the Psalms. We'll find it here. And David said this in verse 1. Remember, James also said, with one mouth you bless God, with the same mouth you curse men. James said something here. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then he went on and said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me, he didn't say from some of my fears, but from all of my fears, that they looked unto him and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So in any situation, they looked to God and light entered into their soul, and they never experienced shame. Their nakedness was never seen. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him, not from some, but out of all his troubles. And then he spoke about divine protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So, it says, the angel of the Lord will encamp round about, surround a person that fears the Lord. Now, what does that fear? Is it to be scared of God? Well, he will tell us what the fear is. And delivereth them. Or chest of this thing, and see that the Lord is good. In other words, you will see good days if you practice this. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. It tells us, fear the Lord, and the scriptures can be broken. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want. Absolutely no want to them that fear him. He goes on and says, the young lions do lack. In other words, this law removes lack. Want says anybody that fears the Lord will not want anything. That's why it says, taste of this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord about anything shall not want any good thing. He said, therefore, come ye children and hearken unto me, and I will teach you what that fear of the Lord is. Because it tells us, oh, fear the Lord, for ye, he says, for there is no want to them that fear him. In other words, they are completely satisfied. They are completely whole on the inside, right? The love of God, all right, is shed abroad inside their heart. They have experienced the love of God in ministering to them and making them complete on the earth. They lack nothing.
Thank you for listening.